I always find it very very hard after Yontif to try to figure out what to do with ourselves. You have an Elul, and then you have a Tishrei, you have Rosh Hashanah, and then you have Aseres Yemei Teshuva, and then you have Yom Kippur, Yom HaKadosh, and then you have the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, which are very holy days, and then you have Sukkot, and then you have Simchas Beis Shueva, and you have Hoshanah Rabbah, and you have Shmini Atzeres, and you have Simchas Torah. And then you come back, and you're back in the city. Unless you were here for Yom Tov, which is also very nice. But you're back in the city, and life goes on. We're approaching Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, which is a less than exciting month, as its name seems to imply. And you almost look back as life starts to get normal again, and slowly, Chas V'Shalom, some averos start to creep back into our life. And then you start to become very cynical, and you start looking back, and you say, did I really change anything in Tishrei? Did anything really happen? There's an amazing little story, which I think has a very, very deep and profound lesson, found in source number one, in the Sefer B'Mechitzas Rabbeinu. It's a collection of insights and practices of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, put out by some of the Talmidim. And he tells the following story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Zatzal Hayaragio Lomar, it's a typo, I'm sorry. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, Sheshayach La'asos Tshuva Chalakit. It's possible for a person to do partial tshuva. You know, sometimes we're very extreme. It's like all or nothing. If I'm going to be from, I'm going to be very from. And if I'm not going to be from, then I'm going to be very not from. I'll be the biggest Tzaddik, I'll be the biggest Rasha. It's boring to be in the middle. So Rizal Salanter says, you should realize that tshuva, even if it's not all-encompassing tshuva, even if it's not the Rambam's definition of tshuva gemura, even if a person does tshuva somewhat, that's not so bad. V'afo pisha ino mo'ila legamri, and even though it doesn't help a person entirely, can you hear me, by the way? Does this thing work? I mean, I hear it, but I just want to make sure in the back. You can hear me? It's clear? It's good? I don't have to scream? Okay. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, even though partial tshuva obviously doesn't help completely, because it's partial tshuva, mikol makom mo'il k'tzas. But it's something. And you shouldn't think that partial tshuva is a waste of time. It's all or nothing. It's not all or nothing. L'dugma siper Rabbeinu amasha'era pam achas b'slobodka. A story that occurred once in a place called Slobodka. That's a holy town, a holy Jewish town. Slobodka Yeshiva. This story didn't take in the Slobodka Yeshiva. This story took place in a shul. Shepam nignav mi beis hakneses hameshenes shel echad michashuvei bachorei yeshiva. One of the young men who was learning the yeshiva in Slobodka left his walking stick in shul one day. You know, you look at those pictures of the good old days, Jews walking around in top hats and walking sticks. You know, they carried them to Slobodka. They carried themselves with great pride and great dignity. And everyone looked, you know, the Altar of Slobodka was very particular, that the Talmidim would dress in modern dress, so people wouldn't think that they're just a bunch of shlumpi yeshiva bachim, that they should look like important people, like nobility, like the noble class. So anyway, so this fellow, this young man, one of the chashuv young men in the yeshiva, left his walking stick one day, and it disappeared, was stolen from the shul. Be'erev Yom HaKippurim hivchin ba'al ha-mashenes shemishanto ha-huchzera le-beis ha-kneses ha-yedei ha-ganav. And he noticed that Erev Yom Kippur, there was his walking stick. Erev Yom Kippur, the Ganav must have had a change of heart, and he brought back the walking stick. Okay, that's very nice. Birch Hashem, the Ganav should have a good year of Torah and mitzvos, of no longer stealing other people's possessions. V'gomer b'dayto l'kachta b'chazara l'achar Yom HaKippurim. And you could either read it, the Ganav or the young man. Let's assume the young man wanted to take his stick back after Yom Kippur. He figured, oh great, my walking stick's back. I'm missing it for months. Baruch Hashem, it came back. Oh, the Ganav must have been chozer b'tshuva. But when the young man from the yeshiva went over to pick up his stick after Yom Kippur, right after Ne'ila, Shuv lo matzo, was already gone again. He put the Ganav put the walking stick back for Yom Kippur, and took it back after Yom Kippur. Kenira she'aganav hechlit lekachta b'shnia la'achar Yom Kippur. And it seems like the Ganav, as firm as he was on Yom Kippur, right, immediately after Yom Kippur, he was back to his old shtick, back to stealing from other people and taking advantage of others. And this story, to me, captures sort of the feeling that many of us probably have. You know, Yom Kippur, we're so inspired, we're so connected. Hopefully we carry it into Sukkot, and into Shmini Atzeres, and Simchas Torah. But now life starts to settle back into its regular routine. And all of a sudden, you start to feel like, maybe I'm just that Ganav, you know? So I fake it for a couple of hours in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then I go back to my old ways. And I go back, and I go back to taking everything I took that was inappropriate. And I'm a faker. And the whole thing is a big ruse. So I want to try to look at a piece from Rav Soloveitchik and a piece from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. That's right, I said the Rav and Rabbi Nachman. I know that's an unusual combination, but you'll see it's actually not such an unusual combination. And I want to show you how the Rav and Rabbi Nachman give us a perspective on how to look at ourselves in a Mar Cheshvan type of way. Yeah, when Yom Kippur's over, when the dust settles, when the sukkah's been dismantled. The sukkah, which was psoles gorim v'yekav, a couple of sticks and a little bit of straw, and you build a house for Hashem out of it, which is a mashal, of course, for taking the lowliness of our life and creating a beautiful edifice out of it. And then after sukkah, it goes back to being a bunch of sticks and a couple of planks, a couple of boards. Goes back to being a lowly structure. It no longer has that shem shamayim chal al sukkah. Sukkah is a place of God. It disappears after sukkah. It's all over. And the question is, how do we look at ourselves and how do we continue to move forward? And I want to use this as a way of, again, looking at ourselves and looking at times that are not so illuminated, like Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, and looking at places. Looking at places that sometimes don't have all of that excitement, spiritual excitement, of being in shul, being Yom Tov, Shabbos, 3 days in a row of Kedusha, Yom Tov, Shabbos, unbelievable opportunities to connect to Hashem. Where do we go now? So let's learn a piece from Rav Soloveitchik. Noach is told, typo again, in source number 2, I'm 2 for 2 so far, it's actually in Parak Tes, not Parak Ches. The Psukim describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to Noach after the Mabul. And the promise really to all of humanity. We'll read from Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayomer Elokim zos os habris asher ani nosein beni uveinecha uvein kol nefesh chaya asher yitchem ledoros olam. Here's the promise to Hashem. Es kashti nasati ba'anan. I have placed my rainbow in a cloud. Vahaysa la'os habris beni uvein ha'aretz. And that will serve as a sign of a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I'm making with the world. Vahayab anani anan ala aretz. It'll be when my cloud appears, passes over the earth. And you recognize the rainbow in the cloud. And I promise you, says Hashem, lo ya'od hamayim l'mabul l'shacheis kol basar. Hashem says, we're never going to do this again. I'm never going to destroy all of humanity, or a great majority of humanity, except for those few who survived on the boat. I'm never going to do this again. Eskashti nasati ba'anan. I placed my rainbow in the cloud. Says Rav Soloveitchik, a drasha that's printed in Rav Shechter's Sefer Mipnine HaRav, which records, again, different halachic practices of the Rav, and in the back there are beautiful drashas, according to the parshas. And Rav Soloveitchik has such a beautiful drasha. I don't know what year it was given. It was recorded by one of the students, and Rav Shechter included it from the notes in the Sefer. Actually, it says from Tafshin Nun Dalet. Tafshin Nun Dalet. What year is Tafshin Nun Dalet? 1994? Okay. You told Divrei Torah. Okay. Again, it could be the shir was given earlier. It could be it was just recorded by that student. But Rav Shechter printed here in his sefer. And look what the Rav says. Look what Rav Salvation develops here. It's beautiful. Parshas Noach Yikotar Pasuk V'haya Ba'anani Anan Ala Aretz V'Nirasa Akashas Ba'anan HaTorah Mita'eres Es Noach Ish Tzadik Tomim Haya B'Zoros. If we were simple Jews reading the Chumash, we'd say, Noach is such a big tzad. The Torah says he's a tzaddik, he's a tamim, he's a great person. He's an ish tzaddik tamim ha'yu b'darosa. We would only see the good in Noach. And yet Chazal saw that Noach wasn't as good as Avram. And Noach wasn't as accomplished as Avram Avinu. And Rav Soloveitchik said, if Noach would have been as accomplished as Avram Avinu, then Hashem would have made a bris, a covenant with Noach like he would eventually do with Avram. But Hashem didn't say, I want to make a contract with you. Hashem didn't partner with Noach because something was off with Noach. So what was off? It says Rav Soloveitchik, Chazal picked up that there was a chisaron in Noach. Something wasn't right with Noach. And Chazal started picking up, he was only a tzaddik, b'dorosav. In his generation, he was a tzaddik. Compared to Avram, he's a nobody. And then the pasuk says, he entered the teva, mipnei mehamabul, he got forced into the teva because he had a lack of emunah. So Chazal started to pick up, Noach, something's just not right with Noach. So Rav Soloveitchik says, so what is it? What was the chisaron with Noach? We'll read where it's bolded in source 3. V'achisaron haya shelo ra efsharus shal tov etzel kol rishay doro. Noach wasn't able to look at Rishon and see the good in them. Noach wasn't able to look at the most wicked generation that perhaps ever was, probably ever was, and Noach wasn't able to see the good in these Rishon. B'nigud la'avram shispal ba'atzadom, as opposed to Avram Avinu, who is fighting for the wicked city of Sodom, davening for them. Ulai yish 50 tzadikim. And the reason Noach didn't daven for them is because he didn't believe in them. He didn't see the good in them. What's the point of davening for these people? They're not going to change. They're a bunch of lowlifes. And Hashem should destroy the world. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, ki oscha re'isi tzadik lefanei bedor hazeh. I see that you're a tzadik, Noach. Shalo itzlachta klal lekari v'acherim v'chein hu b'zohar. And this is what the Zohar says about Noach. He didn't daven for others. He wasn't makar of anyone. Think about it. 120 years, he was trying to, in theory, he was trying to inspire people to join him. And not one person joined the boat. Not one Baal Tshuva from Noach's yeshiva. Can you imagine 120 years of shmuzin and lectures and shiurim? And after it's all said and done, not one person has been inspired by Noach. But it's because when he was giving his shmuzin, he didn't believe in them. He didn't daven for them. He didn't think they were actually going to change the Zohar Soloveitchik. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Noach in Perek Tes, let me teach you about a rainbow. Where is this rainbow? Eskashti nasati ba'anan. The rainbow, the beautiful, colorful, inspiring rainbow, that image of the rainbow, that shining image of the rainbow, is hidden where? In a very dark cloud. And to be able to look past the dark cloud and to see the rainbow is an art. And Hashem says, Noach, I'm going to teach you how to do it. Lefichach her HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it's bolded. Lefichach her HaKadosh Baruch Hu hakesh es ba'anan leharos lo she'af al pi she'nira ki'ilu yesh ezo neshama she'ein shum or ganoz ba'klal. This is the Rav. Sounds very Hasidish to me, I don't know. Maybe I'm just putting my twist on it. Just reading the words. The Rav says, if you meet a Jew who doesn't look like they have a spark inside, they don't have a fire burning inside of them, there's no or, that's good. It's ganuz ba'klal. There's nothing hidden. There's no hidden spark in the deep recesses of their heart. Ein hadavar kein. Hashem says to Noah, you got to look deeper. Because behind every cloud, there's a rainbow. And you have to find it. Ki b'chol anan efshar liros mashu or. Ve'efshar liros afilu keshes malei shaloros. Not only is there a little bit of light behind that cloud, but there's a beautiful spectrum of colors that awaits that person. And Noah, it was your job to bring it out, and you didn't bring it out for them. You didn't look deeply into the hearts of mankind. So let me introduce you to a rainbow. And let me show you how the rainbow comes out of a dark cloud. Says the Rav, this is what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai had in mind when he asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, did you see a rainbow in your times? There were times in history, Rashi brings it in this week's parsha. There was no need for a rainbow. What was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai asking Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Did you see a rainbow in your times? Did Hashem have to teach you how to believe in people, how to see the good in people? Were you able to do it on your own? Did you need the reminder of the rainbow? Or did you believe in humanity? Did you believe in people? Did you believe that there's a lot of potential inside of them? And sometimes it just takes someone to bring it out. Were you able to see it on your own? Or did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to teach it to you? And then the Rav says an amazing thing. The Rav says, he quotes a Gemara in Brachos, we'll jump just to the last couple of lines in the piece. The line that begins, Yemei Bereishis, the end of that line, Veheichan Ganzo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the original light, Rashi tells at the beginning of Chumash, and he hid it away, because the Rasham didn't know how to use the light. Where did Hashem hide that light? That Or HaGanuz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid away? Where did he hide it? Rashi says he took it away because the Rasham were going to abuse the light. Where does Hashem hide it? Says the Rav Heichan Ganzo, Belev kol echad ve'echad, va'afilu b'liboseim shel Rasham. Hashem hid that light, that power, that potential, hid it within the people. And he hid it even within the Rasham. Shenira ki'ilu ein shama or klal. That sometimes you meet a person and you say, this person is kulo choshech. This is the darkest person I've ever met. And yet, la'asidlavo yatsa or habayir azem mitocha choshech amichaseyu. Eventually that light is going to emanate from within that person. And he says that's what Olam Haba is. It's getting to that point where we're able to once again get back to the Or HaGanuz. Getting back to the Or HaGanuz means getting back to that potential that each person had. Ad Kan, the words of Rav Soloveitchik. Pretty amazing, no? Such a beautiful image of what the rainbow is. Hidden behind that dark, that thick dark cloud. And Noach failed to bring out that potential within each person. There's a cloud that's found in the Sefer Yetzirah. That everything in the world exists in three dimensions. Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. In other words, Olam, a place, Makom, a place in the world. Right? Olam, Shana, Nefesh. Olam is a place, a makom. Shana is a time, a point within the calendar year. And nefesh means a soul, a corresponding person. That means for every place and every person, there's a time. Right? So for example, the Kohen Gadol, we have a certain image of him being the greatest Jew, goes into the Kodesh Kadashim, which is the greatest place, on Yom Kippur, which is the greatest day. Okay, so that's a place and a time and a person coming together. There are people whose souls are connected to Shabbos, and people are connected to Yom Tov, and some people are Pesach souls, some people are Shavuos souls, some people are Eretz Yisrael Dika souls, and some people have to go through Chutz La'aretz to get back to Eretz Yisrael in order to fulfill their shlichus. Olam, Shana, Nefesh. A place, a person, and a time. This idea of Noach not being able to recognize the potential within people, right? There are times which also look like there's nothing doing. Noach looked at his generation and said, there's nothing happening here. There's no or here. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're making a mistake. Look deeper. There is or. There is potential there. There is something of substance there. It's harder to see. But if you look deeply, you'll see it. Mar Cheshvan's the same thing. As we come to Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, we have to think, Mar Cheshvan on the surface is very dry, very plain. It's not illuminated. It's not a special time. There are certain places that a Jew finds himself or herself. And you think, this is not a place to serve Hashem. Right? There are places to serve Hashem, and there are places not to serve Hashem. Right? Some places it's natural to serve Hashem. That's not true. The same way Noach made the mistake by looking at people and saying there are people who are not worthy. So we can make the same mistake looking at places and saying this place is not worthy, or this time is not worthy. And the avoda is, in Olam, Shana, and Nefesh, to try to see deeply. To try to recognize that just as Noach made a mistake about people, we sometimes make mistakes about time, certain times of the calendar year. We make mistakes about certain places. This is not the right place for me to feel deeply connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the mistake of Noach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to correct by teaching him the secret of the rainbow in the cloud. So now let's learn Rabbi Nachman. In Likutei Maran, Rabbi Nachman's magnum opus, if you could call it that, which you can't, but you can. In the second section, in the Torah Yud Beis, Rabbi Nachman describes how a person can sometimes lose themselves. And how do they find the way back? And sometimes in the most surprising places, the most lowly people bring the biggest kvod shemayim. Look what he writes. It's a deep Torah. It's a long piece. We'll try to learn through it together. Kisha Adam Holech, source number 4. Likutei Maran, Tinyana, that means the second section, the second volume, Torah Yud Beis. Kisha Adam Holech, Achar Sichlo V'Chachmaso, when a person follows their own intellect and their own wisdom, Yuchol Lipol B'Ta'usim U'Mechsholos Rabim, V'Lavo Lidei Ra'os Gedolos Chas V'Shem. When a person pursues their own intellect, when I feel kochi v'otzim yadi, it's all me. I don't need Hashem. I don't need teachers in Rebbeim. I don't need my parents. I'll do my own thing. I trust my own intellect. I trust my own decision making. And a person goes out and says, I'm going to do what I want to do. Says Rabbi Nachman, sometimes a person comes to very, very terrible things, chas v'shem. And he said there are some individuals who became well-known rishon. People from our own people, from our own family, who went away and formed other religions and created the most anti-God ideas that ever existed on planet Earth. And they're ideas that they came up with their own mind. They moved away from Torah and they followed their intellect and it led them terribly astray. And not only did it lead them astray, shehitu esa olam v'hakol haya al yedei chachmasam v'sichlam, and they led the whole world astray, and it was all because they trusted too much in their own man-made abilities. Says Rabbi Nachman in the third line, v'ikr hayadus hu rak leilich b'tmimus v'pshitus. Rabbi Nachman says a Jew has to be able to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu with simplicity. Don't say that cheshvan doesn't work for me. Tishrei is gevaldik. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Yerach Ha'itonim, the strong month as it's called in the Navi. The strong month because it's filled with mitzvot. Cheshvan's my month off. Cheshvan's when I recover from giving so much of my energy to God in the month of Tishrei. Rabbi Nachman says, that's not what Yiddishkeit's about. You live wherever you're supposed to be, whatever Hashem puts you in, whatever the situation calls for. That's how you serve Hashem. The essence of Yiddishkeit is to walk after Hashem with tmimas and pshitas. B'lishum chachmus l'staka b'chol davar sh'oseh. And a person should walk with simplicity and should look at everything that he does or she does. She yes, Shom Hashem Yizbarach. That Hashem should be a part of it. I don't walk alone. I never walk alone. I walk with the Kadosh Baruch. Will if Lila Shkiach Chlal Akvod Atzmo, Rakim Yesh Bezek Kabod Hashem Yizbarach Yasa. Not to be concerned with my own honor, but ask yourself the simplest question and the hardest question in the world, which is what? does Hashem like what I'm doing? Does this make Hashem proud? Am I bringing Kvod Shemayim by doing what I'm doing right now? If I can say yes, honestly, then do it. And Rabbi Nachman says, V'im lav, and if not, if you get the sense that if you're being honest with yourself, Hashem wouldn't like what you're doing, then don't do it. Then lav, then don't do it. Fine, good. And if you do this, you'll never stumble. You'll never stumble at all. And sometimes he says, a person has doubts. Second paragraph. And sometimes you fall quite a bit. And then you start to have doubts. Doubts about yourself. Doubts about the place in which you find yourself. Doubts about the time in which you find yourself. It would have been better if I was born in Radin, next door neighbors with the Chavetz Chaim. Then I would have been a good Jew. I read a book, Rabbi Neuberger lent me a book that was written by one of the last living Talmidim of the Chavetz Chaim. He said, he writes in the book, it's crazy. He says, for years he davened Shachar standing next to the Chavetz Chaim in his house. He said, most of the people wanted to daven in yeshiva. So Chavetz Chaim needed to have a small meeting in his house. He said, most of them said, nah, I'd rather daven in yeshiva. So he said, this guy said, I davened for years. This guy, the Chashav Rav, this Chashav Rav who passed away about 8-9 years ago. He said, for years he davened next to the Chavetz Chaim. Can you imagine? So we think, I wouldn't have missed that opportunity. Had I been in the yeshiva in Radin, had I been around the time of the Chavetz Chaim, right, I would have taken advantage of that. And the truth is, I'd be a much better davener if I had that opportunity. But I don't have that opportunity. I'm trying to grab mincha and a stare between classes. Right? There's no time for me to daven. So what do you want from me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So sometimes a person has all sorts of doubts. This is not the right time, this is not the right place, maybe I'm not the right person. You have all sorts of strange thoughts. And you start to not only question yourself, you start to question Hashem. You start to wonder, is there a rainbow behind that cloud? Is there something illuminated that's behind everything in the world? Or is it just a dark, dreary place called planet Earth? So he says, you should realize that that setback, that which looked like a terrible setback, is really what we call Yerida Litzar Chaliyah. You step down in order to go up. You bend your knees in order to jump higher. How so? He says, Kishorish kol abriya hu akavod. The purpose of the whole Bria, the purpose of the whole world is what? Is kavod, is to give honor to Hashem. Ki kol mashabar kadosh baruch hu lo bar alechvoda. Hashem made a world to give kavod to himself. What that means, why Hashem is so selfish in that way? Okay, that's a silly question. I made everything for my honor. Kvod Shemayim. That's what it's about. That's the tachlis of the world. So that means every opportunity that I encounter in this world is an opportunity to give kvod to Hashem, to bring kvod Shemayim, to do the right thing, to make the world a more illuminated place. Even though, of course, it's one unit, there's one tachlis, there's one goal for the whole world to just bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the pieces are divided up. And each part of the world has a different way of bringing kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal of life in this world. To serve Hashem with pshitus, to serve Hashem with tmimus, and to just serve Hashem. To do whatever it is I can in any environment, in any situation, at any time, to bring honor to the Creator of the world, Gevaldik. So then says Rabbi Nachman, let's jump down a few lines. He says, what happens? He says, you have to understand the secret of creation. And I'll summarize this next paragraph outside, and then we'll read again where it's bolted. Rabbi Nachman says, we know from a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'om. Hashem created the world with 10 utterances. 10 vayomers, right? Ma'amarot. 10 statements. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Vayomer, let there be this. Vayomer, let there be that. So you open up the Chumash, you start counting, you say, I'm seeing 9 Vayomers. I don't see 10. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us, the word Bereishis is also like a Vayomer. Bereishis is an expression of speech. Interesting. So 9 times, right, Vayomer, and he said, and he said, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke. So Vayomer equals Vayomer. Vayomer means he said. And then the Gemara tells us, no, but Bereishis is also, Bereishis is also speaking. Really? You could take out a lot of dictionaries. I don't think anyone will translate Bereishis as, right, and God spoke. But the Gemara is revealing to us, based on a pasuk elsewhere, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, by the word of Hashem, the pasuk says, the world was created. So Bereishis Bar Elokim, Esa Shemayim. So Bereishis must be an expression of speech. That's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Nachman says, interesting. So there's some types of speech where it's clear that it's speech. Vayomer is clearly speaking. We understand what it's saying. But then there's sometimes things that are being said almost in a code. Veracious. The first word of the Torah. The beginning of all creation is coded, is hidden. It's hidden in that cloud. And that's what the Zohar calls Maimer Sosum, concealed speech. Vayomer, Vayomer, Vayomer means that God spoke. But sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks in a secret way. Sometimes there are things in the world that don't seem to be speaking about Hashem. Again, we're sitting here learning Torah. We're talking about Hashem. There's no question in the world what we're doing right now. But sometimes you're doing things and you wonder, is that an expression of Hashem's desire? Is that an expression of Kodesh Shemayim? It doesn't sound like it. The words in the conversation are not filled with words of Torah, or words of tefillah, or words of mitzvos. Right? It just seems like a mundane conversation. Is this also about God? And that's the Maimer Sosum. That's the secret of Bereishis. The deepest speech in the world, starting point of the whole Torah, of all of creation, is to understand that there's a secret of speech, a Maimer Sosum, concealed speech. So says Rabbi Nachman. And Rabbi Nachman believed, unlike, again, the way the Rav is faulting Noach for not believing enough in the Rishon. Rabbi Nachman, as many tzaddikim said, right? They say it in the name of the Baal Shem Tov and the Rebbe Yitzchak Berditchev, the bigger a tzaddik you are, the more you believe in Rishon. Because the more you're able to see that potential. So Rabbi Nachman says, there's obvious times when we're speaking about Hashem. Again, there's Chodesh Tishrei. But then there's also secret speech. There's times when the service of Hashem is below the radar. It doesn't look like it's very impressive. It doesn't have, you know, Mari Cohen of Yom Kippur. It doesn't have the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't have the Torahs spinning in circles of Simchas Torah. It just looks like a quiet, boring month. Mar Cheshvan. A lowly, boring month. And yet, says Rabbi Nachman, sometimes out of those lowest places come the biggest rainbows, come the biggest expressions. Sometimes the thing that doesn't look like it's talking about Hashem is actually bringing the most honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's read what he writes where it's bolted. So what happens when a person ends up in a place where it doesn't look like Hashem is found? It doesn't look like Hashem is found. You end up in a dirty place. You end up in a lowly place. And you're wondering, what am I doing here? Right? And again, a place is not just like a geographical location. It can just be like a bad day, a bad mindset. I'm not looking at myself well. I'm not looking at my friends well. I'm not looking at anything well. I'm just in one of those angry, bitter moods. Right? And my whole mindset is metunaf. It's dirty. It's just off. And everything you've been working on, which you're doing a great job at, all of a sudden, I'm not sure if this is for me. All of a sudden, all these thoughts, right? The next thing you know, you're trying to be like, do I even believe in Torah? I believe in Hashem? I don't know what I believe anymore. Right? Okay, just relax. You're like, you had a bad day. It's okay. So Rabbi Nachman says, you end up in this crazy place. You end up in this terrible mindset. All sorts of strange thoughts. But you start to look at yourself. And you say, everything in life is supposed to be about Kvod Shemayim, and I'm not that. My actions are not that. Occasionally I check in with Hashem, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but there's long stretches where I'm like, I'm just not there. I'm not connected. And in that moment, you ask yourself, and you ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ayei Mekom Kvodo. Where is the place of your honor? Because apparently I was taught, the Pasuk says, that your honor is everywhere, that the purpose of every bit of the creation is to bring honor to you. So you scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am a Kom Kavodo. Where's your honor now? How am I bringing you honor? I don't feel like I'm bringing you honor. I am a Kom Kavodo. Where is the place of your glory? Where is the place of your honor? I grew up when I was a little kid, they taught me, Uncle Maishi, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Yeah? If you sing the rest, up, up, down, down, right, left and all around, yeah? So where is Hashem now? I'm standing in my little corner of reality, and this place is not holy, and this time is not holy, and this way I'm acting is not holy. So where is I am a kom kavoda. Now listen to what Rabbi Nachman says. This is such a deep secret. What are you saying when you say I am a kom kavoda? It's not a sincere, sweet question. Excuse me, Rabbanu Shalom, I was just wondering, where's the place of your glory? Right? You're screaming out, you're saying, the whole thing's a big lie, I am a kom kavoda. They told me you're supposed to be everywhere, and you're not here. The words themselves are not praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your question, you're challenging Hashem, you're the chutzpah, the point of finger towards the heavens, say, I am a kom kavoda. Where's the place of your glory now? They told me you're everywhere, and you're clearly not here. So what does it sound? What is the revealed words are not very pleasant. But the truth is, on a deep level, may not be the intention of the person who's almost blaspheming God as they scream out, where's the place of your glory? But the truth is, they're really asking the deepest question of all. Where is the place of your glory? If you read it as an angry critique of God, it's a very harsh statement. But if you try to understand that this person is standing in a place where no one's ever thought about God before, and they're thinking about God in that place, and they're thinking about God in that time, and they're thinking about God even while they're involved in that Aveira, or in that mindset that's just not proper for a Jew to be thinking. So if we take the question seriously, Hayei Makom Kavod, though, that person just achieved the Maimer Sasson. That person just achieved concealed speech. Veracious. It doesn't sound like it means God spoke. But God was beginning creation. And this Jew in that lowly place, when they cry out, I am a kom kavodo, because I'm so frustrated that where are you now, God? So Hashem says, that's so beautiful. No one was ever in that spot and asked me where I was. You're thinking about me in a place that tzaddikim never go to that place. And again, a place might be an emotional state. A tzaddik's never been in that place. So a tzaddik never had the chance to bring my honor to them. And you just said, where is your honor in this place? That's beautiful, Hashem says. And you just achieved the highest level of speech. You just achieved the tachlis of the bria. And Rabbi Nachman says, again, sometimes that person who's in that low place, he concludes the piece. You just went from the lowest place all the way back to Bereishis, all the way back to the starting point of creation. And now this person has a chance to what? To start over. And to believe in himself or herself. And to bring Hashem into places that Hashem seemingly never could have been found. There's an amazing Gemara, Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Tanis. It's not on the page in front of you. The Talmud Yerushalmi in the first parak of Tanis says, Amr of Yeshua ben Levi, Im yomer lecha adam eichan hu elokecha. If you ask, if someone asks you, where is the Jewish God to be found? You know what you should answer? Amr lo, bekrach gadol shebe edom. God, oh, he's found in Vatican City. Krach gadol shebe edom. God is found, the Jewish God is found in Vatican City. Really? There's a Chabad in Vatican City? I didn't know that. Where is God found? God is found in Vegas. Really? I thought that's the most godless place on planet Earth. No. Krach gadol shebe edom. In Rome, that's where God is found. God is found in Rome. God is found in all the places you would never expect him to be found. And the Gemara brings a proof. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, a lai kore me seir. That God calls out to me from Seir. Seir is Esav. And so this total antithesis of everything we are. And yet Hashem calls out to us from that place. Hashem can be found in that place. It's interesting. I'm just realizing now, it's Yeshua ben Levi who said this. If someone asks you where your God is, tell him, my God can even be found in the most unlikely places of all. The krach gadol shebe edom. This is godless Edom. 2,000 years without a base of Mikdash. Where is God found? Oh, he's everywhere. Really? I thought you Jews have been suffering a lot for the last 2,000 years. No, no, no. God's with us every step of the way. You really believe that? Yes, I believe that. Hashem is found in the krach gadol shebe edom. It's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one who Rav Soloveitchik said never saw a rainbow in his times. Because the same way he believed that God could be found in Vatican City, he believed that God could be found in every Jew. He didn't need to learn the lesson of the rainbow that Noach needed to learn. How does the Torah end? We just finished the Torah, we just started over. The Torah ends on such a sad note. And I'm not just talking about Moshe dying. The Torah ends by telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos. U'lechol hayad ha-chazak u'lechol ha-mor ha-gadol asher asa Moshe le'inei kol Yisrael. Not on the page in front of you. Moshe did this great thing. What did he do? Rashi says he broke the luchos and Hashem said, Shkayach. Yashrakach sheshivarta. And then we go back. Parashas Baralukim. Really? That's like the best you got? That's how you want to end the Torah? And in case you forgot, by the way, the Jews really messed up big time with Chedei Egel. In case you aren't sure, Moshe had to smash the luchos. How is that possibly a fitting way to end the most beautiful Sefer ever written? So Shlomo Zalman Orbach explained. It's quoted in the Sefer Darash Mordechai in Parshas Bereishis. But Shlomo Zalman said that Moshe was saying to Klal Yisrael, you don't even have a clue how much I believe in you. You think I can give these luchos to someone else? You think I can give Torah to someone else? It's you or it's nobody. And if you're not going to take the Torah, then the world is, there's no point to the world. If you're not going to carry out the mission, even in your lowest state, Moshe says, it's either you or nobody. Don't think that, oh, we messed up. Like, okay, go pick someone else. It's you or it's nobody. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I can't give these luchos to anyone else. There's only one people, there's only one nation that has the ability to what? To get back to Bereishis. And that's why we go right back to Bereishis. We finish the Torah. You smash the luchos. You say, oh, my most broken moments, but right back to that Maimer Sasam, that secret word, Bereishis. And the whole thing starts over again. One of the challenges after Yom Tov, a month of illumination, they tell a mashal from a Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. He said after Yom Tov, he was so it's a bracha and he didn't know what to do with himself. So the Berdichev gave a mashal. He said, imagine a person walking in the forest and they're lost and it's getting dark and it's getting cold and they're trying to find the way, they're trying to find the way, they're trying to find the way. They have no idea where they're going. All of a sudden, in the distance, away at the other end of the forest, they see a little light in a window. They're still in the forest. They've got a lot of things to get past in order to get to that light. But just knowing that that light is on the other side of the forest, knowing that there's a window somewhere on the other side, with a person with a light on in the window, is the biggest chizik in the world. That gives me the strength to push through. So the Berditcher said, when Yom Tov is over, and a Jew is thinking, Mar Cheshvan, such a long journey, where do I go now? But you look off way into the distance, and you already see the light of the Chanukah menorah. You see the light in the window. And you say, if I could just find a way to push through the winter, as it's getting dark and it's getting cold, if I could just find a way to keep my eye on that little candle that's glowing somewhere in the distance, somewhere in the window. That's why some tzaddikim, right after Simchas Torah, they immediately, in their base measures, they would immediately put up the Chanukah menorah to give people that image, to keep looking towards the future. One of the tzaddikim, the Rebbe of Nishchiz, had a machzer from the Baal Tanya. And in this machzer, he used to use it once a year. He used it on Simchas Torah. So I was like, what's special about this machzer that he uses it on Simchas Torah? So Moshe Wolfson said, I'll tell you what the secret is, because I also have that really old machzer. On the page of the Hakafos, at the bottom of the page is the bracha for Ner Chanukah. And this was the Rebbe's way of saying to himself, I know this Yontif's coming to an end, but it's okay. There's a light in the distance. There's a menorah that's glowing in the distance. If I could just continue to believe myself and push through the darkness. And my friends, this is not just a Noach idea. This is called the Torah Kula. When Hashem gave us the Torah, He appears in a dark cloud. When the Kohen Gadol goes into Kodesh Kedashim on Yom Kippurim, He goes in with a dark cloud of smoke. HaKadosh Baruch, the great, the loftiest moments are always behind Choshech, Anan, Va'arafel, hidden in clouds of smoke and darkness. And yet that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu emerges from. And there's nothing we could do to tamper with that. That's just the reality. In the Sifsei Chaim, in source number 5, the Sifsei Chaim al Torah of Chaim Friedlander, in Parshas Vayeshev, he says Yosef's brothers hated him. Yosef's brothers were jealous of him. Yosef's brothers tried to do everything they could to stop his dreams from coming true. And they said, ha, let's kill him. Let's sell him. Let's get rid of him. And let's see what comes of his dreams. So says Rav Chaim Friedlander, as Rashi explains, who said, let's see what comes of his dreams? Chazal say, Hashem was responding. You think you're going to get rid of Yosef? Let me show you what's going to come from his dreams. And then Rav Chaim Friedlander says a beautiful thing. Look what he says. He says, we think that despite the efforts of the brother to stop Hashem, Hashem nonetheless still did what he wanted to do. That's not the right way to say it. Look what he says, where it's bolded in source 5. Ein perash hadavar she'af al pi she'im polu neged his gashmus hachalomus. Even though the brothers tried to stop the dreams from coming true, b'chol zeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hotzi l'pol eskim hachalomus. Hashem found a way to make it, despite their efforts, Hashem, you know, overruled them and found a way to make the dreams come true. That's not the pshat. Because that's not what happened. What happened? The brothers made the dreams come true. Everything they were trying to do to stop the dream from coming true made the dreams come true. They put Yosef in the position. It's not that Hashem said, oh, you did this, but I'll find a way to go around. The things that you were doing that you thought were against Hashem turned out to be truly HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest desire and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest plan. Now, that's a dangerous thing I just said, because it sounds, oh, so great, so I'll just do it with the Eros, and then Hashem will figure out a nice, you know, and Moshe Tzvi will come and give a nice Torah about why my Averos are really mitzvahs. Right? Chas v'shalom. We can't think like that, not for a second. But there's going to be moments in our life when we have those fallen moments, and we're trying to figure out what now. What happens after Tishrei? And the answer is we continue to serve Hashem in Cheshvan. We continue to believe in ourselves. And we continue to push through that winter till we get to that rainbow, till we get to that Chanukah menorah, till we get to whatever it is waiting for us on the other side. And therefore he says, the pshat is not that despite what they tried to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu overruled them. No, the things they did brought about the fulfillment of the dreams. He says where it's underlined, Elahu atzmo gorim al yedei b'chivaso shevatzan Hashem yizkayim. They caused it to happen. The story of Klal Yisrael is a story of Or and Choshech, and the relationship between the two of them. That's why it would be a shir without one gematria. Or plus Choshech is gematria Yisrael. Because the combination, the recognition that within every Choshech is an Or, and sometimes even within the Or, that which I thought was so bright and illuminated, might end up being darker than I thought. The combination of Or and Choshech is gematria 541 is gematria Yisrael. Because the Jewish people understand there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's going to be Tishrei, there's going to be Cheshvans, and they're all good. And we're going to find a way to keep going. We're going to make it work. So a beautiful mashal to explain this piece from Rav Chaim Friedlander. He said, imagine a teacher walks into a room and writes the word silence on the board. And the students file in and they're talking 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 and they're talking. And the teacher's trying to give a lesson on silence. And it's very, very noisy in the room. And finally the teacher takes her ruler and she slams it down on the table and all of a sudden, completely silent. So now the lesson of silence has really been taught. Against all that backdrop of all the noise, if the students would have come in quietly and sat down, and then the teacher said, okay, good, now I'm going to teach you about silence, right? We already know what silence is. But when the students were busy, you know, chatting and talking and making a lot of noise, and then the teacher in a second, all of a sudden, then silence was achieved. Ah, the contrast made the lesson of silence so much more profound. So I saw this in a sefer as a mashal for Mashiach. You wonder, like, Hashem, it's like getting darker and darker and darker and darker. When the Or HaGanuz of Mashiach going to emerge on the world? And there's so much background noise. But in a second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Megala himself, and against the backdrop of all the suffering of Jewish history, against all the noise of the street, when the whole world gets quiet like it was at Har Sinai, and Hashem speaks once again, it's going to be such a profound moment. And therefore, all of that background noise is not going to be pushed aside to make room for Hashem. It's going to help create that magnificent moment when Hashem reveals himself. The way that the brothers of Yosef were not only being pushed aside to make room for Yosef, but the things they thought they were doing against Yosef turned out to be the greatest success for Yosef in the world. So I want to end with one final story. In the piyut, in the davening, for Musaf, in the final source, we have a beautiful tefillah. It's connected to everything we've been describing today. Ata negleisa ba'anan kvodecha. Hashem, you revealed yourself in the cloud of glory. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage from the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. It was a Dr. Moshe Kirstein. He's a cardiopulmonologist at Maimonides Medical Center in Brooklyn. He says one day a Jew walks in, Alter Yid walks in, and he sees he has numbers on his arm. And he says to this Jew, he says, tell me, how did you survive? How did you make it through the war? Tell me your story. So he says, how did I survive? This Alter Yid says to him, how did I survive? I'll tell you. Ata neglesa ba'anan kvodecha. Quoted this line from the tefillah. Ata neglesa, you revealed yourself ba'anan kvodecha. So this Dr. Kirstein says, I don't know what you're talking about. But he says, let me tell you. He says, I came to the concentration camps in Chodesh Elul. And he says, it was, needless to say, a very dark time. He said, my father was a chazan, and I realized a few weeks in that Rosh Hashanah is approaching. And for years, my father had been a chazan. He was always singing the Nigunim in the house. He was always singing the Nusach HaTfilah. So I realized, we're not going to have Siddur, we don't have Machzor, we don't have anything. I'm going to try to write down as much of the Tfilah as I can by heart. And whenever I had the opportunity to get something to write with, or a little scrap of paper, I was writing, pal peh, for memory. I was writing down as much of the Yom Lerom davenings, shachars, musaf, mincha, whatever any parts I could remember, I wanted to have it so that Jews would be able to daven from it. He said, one night I'm sitting by the window, I'm writing by the light of the moon. And all of a sudden the door swings open and a Nazi guard walks in, and he says, what are you up to? He said, that was it. I knew I was dead man. I said, I figured if I'm going to die, I should die proudly. You want to know what I'm up to? I'm up to the words Ata Neglesa Banan Kodecha. That's what I'm up to. You want to know what I'm up to? That's what I'm up to. Musaf. I'm up to Musaf. Ata Neglesa Banan Kodecha. The Nazi grabs the papers out of his hands. He says, let me see what that is. And he looks at his handwriting. He says, you have beautiful handwriting. And the Nazi says, one of my senior officers is actually looking for a secretary. And I think you'd be the right person for the job. And he says, I'm gonna report that I found out about you. And you're going to bring a lot of honor to me when I assign you as his secretary. And he said it was because I was taken away that night to work for this Nazi high-ranking official that I saved my life. Ata neglesa. What saved my life? Ata neglesa v'anan kvodecha. But I realized that even in the darkest period of time, behind those clouds, a person sometimes is zochet to see and sometimes we're not yet zochet to see. But to realize that behind the darkest clouds of all of history is something beautiful that's waiting to burst through. It's true about every Jew. It's true about every place. It's true about every time. And Mir Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to not make the mistake of Noach. To not look at ourselves in the wrong way. To not look at Chodesh Mar Cheshvan in the wrong way. To not look at living in New York City in the wrong way. Right? But to realize that all that background noise is just setting the stage for that moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala himself. And Mir Hashem, we should be zochet to see it and hear it with our eyes and ears. And here be Amen.